All right, well, good morning to everyone. Can I get an amen for those songs?
Amen.
Could sing for quite a while yet. That was awesome. Get an amen for the Sunday school lesson, too. That was awesome sitting there and just Jesus' power over death. That's the message. That's the reason we even have a message for the world. It's nothing that we have. But because of the King that we serve, King that conquered power of death in the grave, there's so many things that I want to share. It's hard to know where all to go with this in a few minutes here that I have. But I just want you to... A couple things. It's just, this isn't a call to striving harder. This isn't a call to somehow pulling ourselves up by our own strength. This isn't a call to generate some for calling on your life out of some for guilt trip or anything like that. What I want to focus a little bit more on, yes, my heart burns for the people in Asia, Central Asia. That's the call the Lord sort of has burned into my heart and my life. But what I want us to focus on more importantly, or first, maybe first is a better way of saying it, first is a call to a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to burn for our Lord and Savior first before we can really engage into missions and what God has for us. There's many different calls. It works out in many different ways. And so the biggest thing to me is just seeking the Lord, seeking His face, getting into His Word, knowing Him. And then as we study and ponder and think about Jesus and His victory over the grave and those things, then mission work and evangelism will be the outworking and the overflow of a relationship, and that's where the power comes from. And so that's what I want to encourage us with this morning. You know, you and I were made to worship. We're going to worship something. Human beings are worshipers. And so the question is, for each of us, is what I'm worshiping or what I'm giving myself to, what is the eternal impact? What is the eternal value of that? Am I giving my worship and my time to things that are temporal, or am I giving my worship and time to things that are eternal? Just going to read over a couple verses and sort of just help bring our focus into thinking about a relationship and getting to know God better. We often hear the verses in Romans 12, 1-3. In chapter 11, Paul is talking about how amazing it is that the Gentiles were brought in and how we now have an opportunity to be brought into this to salvation. Then he starts Romans 12. He says, "And so, or because of this, because of our opportunity at salvation, I, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will be able to learn. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." It's kind of exciting to me that, you know, being different from the world and having different values from the world isn't just so that we're separated from something, but we're separated unto something. We're separated unto Christ. Then, it says, then you'll be able to tell what God's will is. You'll be able to hear clearly because our hearts are in tune. And that's something that it's a daily challenge. But I just want to call us to that. I know I come and, you know, I feel that the Christian life has its highs and its lows. We're not always on the mountaintops. But at the bottom of it all, that if our heart can be for the Lord, seeking the Lord's face, then we will outwork into evangelism. We know the chapter in Hebrews 11 talks about the hearers of faith. And then Paul says in chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, He endured suffering, He endured difficulty. Because of the joy and the reward that was set before Him, He despised its shame, but now He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. The call to missions is a call to battle. It's a call to enter into warfare. And that's why this relationship with the Lord is so important. It needs to be number one in our lives before we can really engage with the enemy, because one of the definitions of I've heard of spiritual warfare is aggressive evangelism, or aggressive evangelism is spiritual warfare. And so that's why, as we seek the face of our Father, then we're going to have the strength and the foundation to work out and see what God has for us. And then as we move into those areas, we're going to have the strength to do that. Think also in the verses in Matthew 19, the rich man came to Jesus, said, you know, what can I do? And he was focusing on works, but he said, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And of course, we all know what Jesus told him, that he should sell everything and give it away. But then later, a few verses later, Peter says, well, Lord, we've forsaken everything for you. And if you kind of, it's interesting, you look back at what the disciples did, it was a little bit, I mean, they immediately dropped things and they immediately left everything and followed Jesus. So Peter's like, you know, what are we going to do? We've left everything. And oftentimes when we were overseas or when we're facing difficulties, I often go to these verses, Matthew 19, 29, and 30. And here Jesus, let's see, and it says, and everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake, he shall receive an hundredfold and inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. It's just a tremendous encouragement that, yes, it's hard. It's a call to sacrifice, but it's also very, very rewarding. And the relationships, the wide broadening of your horizons is a tremendous reward. And then also, as we think of our eternal reward, being able to see maybe the unseen things of what we're doing, but be able to see the outworkings of our work for the kingdom, lives affected, people that are in heaven because of the sacrifices that were made. And to me, that's what makes this call worthwhile. You know, ask God to break your heart for what breaks his heart. So many times I can get calloused. I see so much things in the world and rub shoulders with unbelievers and pagans in the world, and too many times I'm okay with it, or it doesn't connect in my heart. And just seek the face of the Lord, that he would give you a heart that breaks or hurts for what hurts his heart. That we would be able to see every person as a living soul, a never dying soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. It has value, and that's something that is such a challenge for me to do. When people are just, can I use the word ugly, or just the workings of sin in their lives is making things look so difficult and so ugly. But to see underneath all of that is a person, a never-dying soul. Too often I lose sight of that, and I see what I can see with my eyes. I see the behavior, and I see the outward. But to look through that and to see a person, a human being. I have a couple quotes here that have challenged me as we think of the message that we have and the person of Jesus Christ, as we get to know him and then take that to the lost around us. There's a quote here from James Stewart. Ravi Zacharias often quotes it, and I always thought it was a good quote. But talking about Jesus, as we think of getting to know him, who he was, who he is, and then being able to carry that message to the world, he said, he was the meekest and lowliest of all the sons of men, yet he spoke of coming on the clouds of heaven with the glory of God. He was so austere that evil spirits and demons cried out in terror at his coming. Yet he was so genial and winsome and approachable that children loved to play with him, and the little ones nestled in his arms. His presence at the innocent joy of a village wedding was like the presence of sunshine. No one was half so kind or compassionate to sinners, yet no one else spoke such red-hot, scorching words about sin. A bruised reed he would not break. His whole life was love. Yet on one occasion he demanded of the Pharisees how they were expected to escape the damnation of hell. He was a dreamer of dreams and a seer of vision. visions, yet for sheer stark realism, he has all of us self-styled realists soundly beaten. He was the servant of all, washing the disciples' feet. Yet masterfully he strode into the temple, and the hucksters and the money changers fell over one another to get away in their mad rush from the fire they saw blazing in his eyes. He saved others, yet at last he himself did not save. There is nothing in history like the union of contrasts which confronts us in the Gospels. The mystery of Jesus is the mystery of divine personality. If we can somehow get a hold of that with our light, get a hold of that, have that fire burning within us, and if you feel the call of the Lord on your life, and you're unsure what that all means, seek the face of the Lord. Get on your face before Almighty God and pray. That was one of my biggest things when we were feeling the call of the Lord. Continually just surrendering, saying, God, I know you're calling us to something, but show us the way. Show us what you have. We're willing to go. But then be ready and mean it when you pray it, because it's God will take you for a ride. As Rich Mullins used to say, God is a wild man. And he said, someday I hope you encounter him. And he said, and if you do, he said, you better hold on for dear life. He said, or maybe let go for dear life is better. And so that's my prayer for each of us in my own heart, that we can just really get to know the Lord. And then out of that, feel the call. Here's another quote from William Temple. Worship is a submission of all of our nature to God. It is the quickening of the conscience by his holiness, the nourishment of mind with his truth, the purifying of imagination by his beauty, the opening of the heart to his love, the surrender of will to his purpose. All of this, gathered up in adoration, is the most selfless emotion of which our nature is capable. And I would love to take apart that quote. It's incredible, and it's so hard to... it's amazing to think through all that. Now, the quote from John Piper. God's purpose for the nations is that he be praised. Oh, that we could get a heavenly mindedness about the world so that we see it the way God sees it. Lives are a vapor. Eternity is long. Heaven is ecstatic with joy. Hell is horrific with pain. These are the great realities. Just seek the face of the Lord. Again, it's not a call to make yourself feel like somehow, you know, you need to go overseas or you're not a good missionary. You're not a, you know, seek the face of the Lord. In a group this size, I'd like to think that there's some that are called to do that, just because that's where my heart is. But God will reveal it to you. God will never turn away an honest seeker. There's so many unreached people groups out there, people that have never heard the name of Jesus. I never forget the time in Thailand I was sitting at a mechanic shop getting my car looked at, and a guy spoke broken English. He could barely talk to him. I asked him if he ever heard of Jesus, and he just looked at me. He was very confused, and I was kind of taken. I was like, okay, and I couldn't quite, I was trying to think how to work through this, and I couldn't really work through it very well. His English was very broken, but you could see he was completely, it didn't register at all. And to think that there's millions, possibly billions of people, and generations are turning over the same way they are here. Our generations turn over and we pass on and the next generation rises up. It's happening every day. And so I just pray that our hearts could be in tune with what the Father has for us. You know, what sometimes we say for the youth, you know, maybe the Lord has a call for you, but I think the call is for everybody. Whether it's overseas, whether it's here, but just seek the face of the Lord and what he has for you. I have a short, about a 5-minute video that I went digging through my archives. We had made a picture video set to a song from our time in Nepal. And Heidi's a real lover of beauty, and those of you that know her know that. And so it's kind of a picture of Nepal through her camera. And also think of the words of the song. It's kind of our testimony as we think about serving the Lord and what all he has for us. So enjoy the video, and then I'll turn it over to Andrew.